Hello, everyone.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm good. It's sunny out, but it's still cold.
Yesterday was very nice, though.
It's true. Yeah, it was a week ago it got into the 70s, but yeah, now it's back down into the 30s again. Yeah.
Maybe it was nice for y'all, but we got snow.
Oh.
Yeah, it's funny. I've had the air conditioner on in the last week, and then 2 days ago we had snowfall and it was freezing. So, and then this weekend it's supposed to be back up in the 80s, so who knows?
Yeah, that's quite a jump.
I guess it's the, what would the opposite of a blip be? A blip usually implies upward motion. I guess it's upwardly cold.
A divot. We'll call it a divot.
A divot. Thank you, Kimberly.
I think we have most of participants, and the agenda is full for today. I still don't see Christine though, and we need her. Let me check if she's able to join us. Give me 1 second. I'll check it internally. Okay, Christine will join us shortly. Let me sh share my screen. Hopefully, I'll be able to join the right screen. I have tendency. Here we go. Here is today's agenda. As always, please add your name to the attendees list. That help us to identify people if we need to follow up on some topics. So please add that. Corey was kind to volunteer for taking notes today. Thank you, Corey. Is there anything else we should discuss before we move to the WolfCon? Then, Jennifer, do you want to lead the conversation about WAFCOM proposed topics and who would be interested in participating?
Sure thing. I'm going to put into chat just the link that gets you to kind of sorry, can't talk, the homepage for the conference, which is in Prague this year. There is also, and let me put the chat this in chat. We also have submission guidelines. So early bird registration is already open. Of course, the call for submissions is also open. So we ha do have a deadline of March 25th. And what I would wanted to check with this group is, are we interested, or is there any interest from anyone in a either like bulk edit and list app kind of regular session in general, Or maybe separating them and having a bulk edit session and a list app. Oh, I see. Yes. And H. So I know Kathleen said that she's interested in helping present. Is there anyone else who would like to help present? Excellent. And so I guess should we have, so we've done this before, should we have one session just on bulk edit and list app, or is there enough interest, do you think, to have one on bulk edit and then another one on list app?
Hi, this is Holly. I would say, depending on the amount of information we have for both of those apps, we could decide if we need one or if we need two separate presentations.
Alrighty, that sounds great. So, March, I'm just trying to. So that's next week. So what I'm thinking is, maybe I can contact you, Holly, and Kathleen, on Slack, and we can just kind of connect there and see how much we have.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean. Also, I mean, and it can be, workshop style, or it can also be, panel presentation. I mean, we have, different kind of formats we could use as well, so it doesn't have to be like a demo and like a teaching one. But
Sure.
yeah, alrighty.
Yeah, sounds good.
Yeah, thank you, Holly. Is anyone else interested? And I will put out there is if. There is, so there will be a ten, hopefully I'll be there in person, so you can also help present virtually, if you're wondering, because it is in Prague, and which is not next door for many of us. Yeah, okay. So if you're interested in that, just let me know. Kathleen also put in the chat, what type of presentation would you be interested in the most? I mentioned there's workshop style, there's like panel presentation style, there's like just a general, like with, kind of PowerPoint saying, hey, this is bulk edit and list app. So what do you think?
It might be helpful to, have the first half be kind of presentation overview style, but then leaving sufficient time in the second half, to play around in the app and workshop any issues.
That sounds good. I mean, and the sessions are 50 minutes, with 10 minutes being like question and answer. So it's like 40 minutes.
Right.
Yeah. So, but yeah, we could do that. I mean, that could be really interesting. All right. So what I'll do is I will reach out to you, Holly and Kathleen, and get something going.
Great, thanks.
Yeah, thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Jennifer, for coordinating and bringing it up to our attention. I just want to mention for those who are new in the group, in I think 2 WolfCons ago, this was in Hamburg, we did a joint session for lists and bulk edit when we shortly presented the existing functionality and three representatives of three libraries showed how they are using bulk edit in enlist in their workflow. The applications were very young at the time. They matured since then. So that may be also be interesting to show how libraries are using and what they like and what is still missing. With WolfCom conversation completed, let's move to bulk edit. And today we have Christine joining our meeting. She would like to gather requirements for bulk editing authority records. I think most of you know Christine. Christine is working with inventory search and inventory authority records edits and storing. Christine, please join us and take it over.
Thanks,
Do you want
Margaret.
me
Oh,
to share the screen, or would you rather share your screen?
I can share it.
Okay, let me stop sharing mine.
Okay, let's see.
I just need to find the control. And I cannot. Okay, you should be able to.
Cool. That means. So as Magda said, hi everyone, I'm Christine. For those that I haven't been able to meet yet, I'm a product owner that works on inventory search, Mark Authority app, and then QuickMark. So mostly Mark cataloging and search. One of the current features I'm working on is involves bulk edit. So it's bulk editing, bulk editing Mark Authority records, both edit and delete. And I'm here today to gather what may look like pretty rudimentary details. But I really want to get a good foundation of who is using bulk edit, who might use it for authorities, why are the use cases, and how we identify which MARC authority records to edit or delete. So again, I'm working with delete and editing. Currently, MARC authority record, well, you all know, aren't available in bulk edit, but that'll be part of this feature. So the first thing I want to go through, maybe delete. Some of these answers might be the same between the two actions, but I'm curious as to who, what kind of roles might need to delete these authority records in bulk. Would any of you need to? Oh, go ahead, Jennifer.
Well, not necessarily me, but in data import, and this was, oh geez, I should know the date. It was like recently, it was like in the last couple weeks. We had Megan Toy, or yeah, I'll have to find the name. So this person presented on their workflow for authorities. And there was a need to delete authority records. Sometimes it just the records didn't match because of, I don't know, a difference in how the authority number was set up. Oh, thank you, Lynn. Lynn posted a link to that meeting. So there's a whole bunch of information there on what this person was encountering. So there was a need to actually kind of just delete a set, for example, or even a couple, but definitely one plus. And I think there was, Lim may have to refresh my memory, but if I remember correctly, this would be linked to, certain permissions, which I think delete is already linked to like a higher permission set. And I would say definitely separate from editing, that permission should be separate from editing. Yeah.
Okay, so in a lot of cases, thanks, Jennifer. So in a lot of cases, it sounds like quality control, maybe mistakes were made, maybe things were set up in a way that wasn't intended. So we need to fix the authority records themselves. Okay, great. And then you added that we would need separate permissions for both. And then Lynn, you agree. Thank you for sending along the data import SIG meeting notes. I'll add that here. To make sure we capture that conversation as well. Oh, Vivian.
Hi, Christine. This is
Hi.
less of a this is less than a who than a why. Is that all right at this point?
Of course.
Okay. So in our legacy system, we so for those who for those folks who don't know who I am, I work for the Mobius Consortium. We've got 62 libraries sharing a Folio tenant on in an ECS environment. Pre-migration, we were on Sierra, where we had a number of different consortial systems, anywhere from 3 to 15, actually I think 17, on a single system. And we did centralized authority processing for each of our local sites. And so in the course of the centralized authority processing, you know, we'd send bibs out. We'd get bibs and authority records back, but we also had what was called a notification service where our vendor compared our authority file against LC and provided updates, provided new authority records, and then provided delete authority records. And so in our legacy, we were able to load those delete records. Load the simple act of loading them didn't delete the records, but we were able to flag them, which we then deleted in the equivalent product to bulk edit. So that's a context in which authority records might be batch deleted, in that we've received a file of authority records that are no longer in LC. And rather than having to go through them one by one and delete them one by one, we load them via data import, which get flagged and then would delete them in bulk delete, or in bulk edit rather. So,
Okay,
like for
so
example, so yeah, for example, again, this was a service provided by our authority vendor. LC no longer has this, you know, this batch of anywhere from 5 to 5,000 records in it because of LC, you know, because of headings changes in LC, and so they would provide the files. I will say that we were working on a quarterly basis, so we'd get 3 months of deletes all at once. You know, basically the records are no longer valid records, and so they need to be removed from the catalog.
Do you, okay, that makes sense. When, okay, so you were able to flag them somehow
Yeah,
as,
so we
okay.
were able to, I'll say we were on Sierra, and Sierra had a lot more bells and whistles than Folio does, including the ability to flag records when you loaded them via the e equivalent of data import, and then also the ability to delete them in batch via it wasn't via the equivalent of bulk edit. It was really a separate, it was a separate function that allowed batch deletion of records. But in Folio, I would think, unless, I mean, unless EBSCO or somebody is going to develop a deletion app, then I think the most likely place for it would be in bulk edit.
Would you expect that that flag as a deleted record would be in the MARC record itself, like in the leader?
Possibly, or possibly in the instance record. Oh, I mean, sorry, authority. There is no instance record. Then yes, I mean, I would expect, huh? You know, that's a really good question. Because in Sierra, authority records had like a fixed field kind of situation in its view, so we used a fixed field to flag the authority records. But I would think yes, probably something in the leader.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. For In order to do this, so the person or the role that would be deleting these records, is it mostly someone who specifically works with authorities? Is it like an administrator?
I mean, to be honest, when we were doing it centralized, it was mostly me, and my colleagues here at MCO. So it would be consortial administrators, or if one of our libraries was, started this process on their own, then it would be, an authority cataloger who'd be doing the work.
When you say doing it on their own, do you mean with their local authority records
Yeah, with their
or
local authority file. I mean, I don't see it's. You know, authority vendors cost a certain amount of money. So I don't necessarily see that happening. But if we're talking conceptually, say one of our larger institutions decides, well, we're not going to wait for Mobius to offer centralized authority processing anymore. We're going to work with a vendor on our own with our local authority file. So it would, yeah, in that case, it would most likely be their cataloger, or if they have a large enough cataloging staff, their authority cataloger.
Okay, cool. That makes sense. Thank you, Vivian.
Sure thing.
Let's see, Jennifer, you said staff tasked with working with authorities and systems coordinators. Okay. Authorities or a systems coordinator. Okay. So we've captured some use cases on quality control, as well as needing to update our authority records with any that have been deleted, such as with LC and when we receive them from authority vendors. We talked about how maybe those would be flagged and the leader is deleted. Are there other use cases besides just quality control?
I mean, we could have locally preferred terms that we would create an authority record for. So instead of using a national vocabulary, we would use something locally.
Okay, great. So, you want to make sure, especially, that people cho choose that locally preferred term. So you don't want the
Correct,
national. Okay.
right. So find the national vocabulary, replace it with whatever the local preferred term is.
Okay.
Not that
How
my
would
library does it, but it could be a use case I've seen elsewhere.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense to me. Would you know that? So, if I have a locally preferred term, how do I identify the records that? How would I identify the records that have the term I don't prefer? Is that looking at the authority file, or do we know a specific heading we're looking for?
I mean, we could have, we don't want to use Gulf of America. We want Gulf of Mexico. So it may be finding a specific string or it could be something along the lines of we don't want to use, quote, Indians of North America. We want to use something different. That's not as horrific.
That makes sense. So maybe finding the one that's not wanted, for lack of a better term, we may just be looking at a string match to find that authority record to delete.
Correct, because it may be across many different authority records as opposed to just one.
Ah, yes, that makes sense. Okay. Let's see. When we are deleting, so I'm assuming, well, my assumption is that we would want So authority records we can delete from the UI. And once that happens, one of the things that changes is the leader 05 changes to D. So my assumption is there is no issue with doing that in the delete process via bulk edit. Do we have other edits we'd want to make to the data in the authority record itself before it is hard deleted after a retention period? Okay, so maybe we're just making the edits that we need to make to tell Folio to delete them. For some reason, we don't need any data for some reason. Especially since we might be hard deleting if we don't, or if we have a retention period. Oh, Jennifer, please.
This is maybe a little tangential, but so it's a couple questions, and because I've been we've been talking about delete in different kind of areas, here in crossop and metadata. So I'm wondering, if we, have a separate permission to delete things. Will there be, so my first question, will there be like a filter to f filter just like what has been deleted, or will those show like, kind of now with like stuff that staff suppressed, it will just you can see everything. And then my second question is, if we have something that has been marked for delete, and let's say you want to make edits, will it be necessary to unmark that record for delete in order to make the edits?
That's a good question. Currently, for MARC authorities, when the action has been taken to delete, they are no longer visible in the UI. Unlike instance records, for example, as we all know, there is no hard delete. So we just flag it, and then I know there's questions about, potentially, like you said, a facet to look at the ones that have been marked for delete. But with MARC authorities, they're deleted basically from the UI, and then there's a retention period that is configurable. And once that period is hit, then they're essentially hard deleted. And when, oh, go ahead.
Oh no, sorry. Yeah, because I'm trying to remember, because I think, because I if you I and I don't know how many people do this, so maybe that's a question as well. So if you report on authorities and you're doing anything that's maybe linked to a third party system, and I know some discovery systems aren't able to display what's in the authority file. I think others can. So I'm not sure, but that needs to be verified. So if you hard delete it, and let's say your discovery system or even your third party reporting system reports on that, it will just, will that break it? So I'm, and the reason I'm asking this is, do we need kind of like a tombstone system to say, hey, there was something here, but this has been deleted permanently? Olive did that, our previous system.
So does that mean, thanks, Jennifer. Does that mean that, for example, in Olive, they never fully deleted? Like they lived in the system as deleted, they were still not discoverable via the UI.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and if you pulled any reports, sometimes those deleted did appear in some of those reports, but you can actually see, hey, this was deleted, and with the date, and I think it had some brief information, like a title and the original system numbers.
Okay. So that would be supported if the retention period was set to never hard delete it. Yeah, so you can set it to just never delete, in which case you would be able to retrieve it. Other systems would be able to retrieve it. I don't exactly know the mechanism, but those records, all of those records, if they were retained, would have a leader 05 of D. So kind of like you mentioned, like a, yeah, so it lives on in
Yeah,
some form.
that's interesting. And I'm sure there's use cases for both of this, like getting rid of it entirely because it's just junk data. And then you have something that maybe you do need to track even though it's deleted. I'm not sure. And maybe with authorities, maybe that's not true. Maybe you just need to get rid of it entirely. Yeah.
I can imagine for bibliographic records to have something like a gravestone for deleted records, so that the information about them is available for the discovery layer, for example. But I don't know if this is applicable for authority records. Probably not.
In
I wonder if, if it shows up in a log of some sort, like if we're running a report on what's been done, those records could show up there. That would probably be sufficient.
yes, and I believe if one calls the right endpoint, there would be the ability to create a report, as you're saying. Okay, Magda, am I out of time?
Sorry, I was muted. No, you still have time. You
Okay.
have 15 minutes.
15 minutes, my goodness. Okay. Everyone's gonna be sick of me. Okay.
No pressure.
It's okay, I can fill it. Okay, so we've talked a lot about deleting. And one thing I want to mention about MARC authorities is when you select delete from the actions menu from the UI, it prompts you to let you know, okay, it's linked to this many bib headings. Going to unlink once you delete. So that would likely, or that would be the same behavior in bulk edit. I don't know if potentially we could prompt in the same way that it's going to break the links, but especially if it's in, we're doing it in bulk. But just letting you know that that's what happens. In the MARC Authority app, it just breaks those links. It doesn't delete the data from the bib heading, it just isn't controlled anymore. So I just want to mention, oh, yep, it's Jennifer and
Yeah.
Vivian.
Sorry, that got me thinking in reports. I'm wondering, because that would be a different process to remove those links in the bib record. But I'm wondering if, let's say you're doing this and you're doing a delete and it comes out with a report saying, hey, these bib records are going to be affected. It would be great to have a report with a CSV dropdown of the UUIDs. Because then that way you can, or even better, it would be like, hey, do you want to launch the bulk edit task of removing, the links for these UUIDs? That would be awesome.
The UUIDs, I'm assuming, of the bib records, right?
Of the bib records, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Let me know when you're ready.
Oh, sorry. Will.
I mean, you know I'll just talk, but I want to wait till you're actually ready to hear what I have to say.
Okay. Link to the record. Like a list of the UITs. Okay, I am ready for you, Vivian.
Awesome. Only because the term broken link, it was a meaningful issue for us under Sierra. I just want to confirm that when you say that it breaks the links, what you're saying is that it unlinks the links and doesn't actually, quote unquote, break anything.
Sorry, yes, you are correct. That's a much better way to say it. It unlinks it. Thank you, Vivian,
Thank
for
you.
double
Appreciate
checking
it.
there. Unlink. Thank you. Thanks for keeping me in check, Vivian.
Oh, see, for those of us in Mobius, you say broken links and our ears perk up.
Okay. Perfect. Good to know. Unlink.
I think in general, just any kinds of reports that could be available through the UI would be greatly appreciated, especially by those who don't have any other kind of reporting mechanism, like LD or MetaDB or LD Lite. It's so and Working with the APIs is so difficult, and we just need more UI reporting.
Yes, that is definitely something I've heard, especially because I work in the Mark Authority app, especially there as well. Am I missing things in chat? Okay. Thank you, Lynn.
You're welcome. Sometimes it just sort of gets forgotten.
Yes. Yeah. A lot of things are happening, a lot of changes here, a lot of deletes. It's not good when we can't track that information. Not helpful. Okay. Are there any other thoughts of deletes, or can we move on to edit? Okay. So, well, let's start with your thoughts before I start jumping in with my assumptions. Are the same people editing authorities in bulk that might be deleting them?
In our case, yes.
Okay.
Though it's less likely to be consortial office staff and more likely to be catalogers.
I would say it could be yes, or it's really just the systems coordinator. So I mean, I think it would depend on what the bulk action would, is. Like if it's coming from our authorities vendor, it might be a system coordinator, but if we're doing a bulk edit like on a local authority file, that might be like one of our lead authority catalogers.
Okay, that makes sense. So, especially to edit local files, but systems coordinators would especially help when we receive edited authority records from an authority vendor. Okay. Okay. Oh, go ahead, Christy.
Oh, hey. Hi, everybody. I'm Christy. I'm with the Library of Congress.
The PTCP office, which is the office that maintains subject headings for us, LCNAF, LCSH, all of them, they're really the people for us who need to be able to do this. In our office, of course, we're managing Folio as a whole, but previously in our previous system, they had permissions to be able to do global data change. So anytime that a heading updated, they'd be able to update. Right now, we don't have our headings linked. We will, but right now we don't. But they're really eager to be able to do this. And so for us, that means being able to limit access for their permissions to be very specific to being able to edit. We're not really doing a lot of bulk deletes for these, but isolating it to the app, of course. I was trying to think if they're being able to edit, specific fields like restriction with permissions. I can't think of anything like that right now, but probably just being able to enable editing, not deleting, and just keeping it to those people. So that's kind of our use case is PTCP using this.
Oh my gosh. PTCP at LLC. Question for Christy and others. I have a question about their fields we shouldn't be able to edit, and you touched on this, Christy. As far as I understand it, in bulk edit, there are certain fields you can't edit, like any OOX fields, I'm assuming. And so I'm wondering if we need to protect all of the OOX fields, if there's other fields we need to protect that aren't available for editing in bulk.
Well, in the one example from a data import, the problem I think was the O10 field. So I would say, especially if we have hopefully people who work with authorities who are doing this work, I would say open it up, because otherwise, you just have to extract those records. Make the change and, something like mark edit and then update the records, which can be annoying.
So allow editing like of the 010. Is that what you said, or the 001?
Of the 010 and
Okay.
even, yeah.
Thank you, Vivian.
Generally, I feel like if we're going to restrict a field from being edited, there should be a reason for it, apart from, well, we don't do it in this other case. We don't know why we're restricting this field, but we restrict it in this other place, so we're going to restrict it here. I think we need a better reason than that.
Yep, that makes sense. Are there use cases for editing any of the control fields?
I don't have any, but I also don't do authority work apart from, formerly like loading records and things like that.
And I think what you're also saying is you also don't have use cases for not being able to edit them.
Right,
Yeah,
exactly.
yeah. What I'm thinking of with at least the 001 is currently and in the future, you are able to identify local authority files using the 001, a prefix in the 001. So maybe if the record somehow has been misidentified as a specific authority file and we need to change it, we would need to change the 001 prefix, for example, if I'm making any sense. Vivian, please.
I'm curious, do you know if there is any play anywhere on the This is sort of only tangentially related, but do you know if there's anywhere on the roadmap the ability to share to in an ECS environment to promote a local authority record to a centralized authority record in the same way that can be done with an instance?
I believe there is a feature for th there should be a feature
Okay.
for that because we've definitely talked about it.
Again, this is where me not actually doing the work comes into play, so I might have just missed that.
Oh no, it's okay. I can pass along that feature and find it. Yep, thank you, Vivian.
ECS complicates everything.
Christine, I have a random question.
Sure, Corey. Hey.
Something that Lynn touched on, I'm curious if, and my pardon if this has already been addressed, but it's likely not uncommon for a library to choose not to follow LC rules for different preferences locally in terminology that's used. And so some libraries may choose to stay with it, some may choose to not stay with it, but I can see a use case where a library, maybe they like the terminology that's currently used, but maybe LOC changes the terminology. And so they want to keep old terminology, remove the notes that it's LOC so they can maintain that terminology that they found more appropriate to their local collection and demographic than to move towards it. So I'm just saying, like, I can see instances where a library might choose to keep or remove other authority files from other places based as the terminology changes, and then therefore maybe strip some of the administrative data in that record, just as a side note. As a case in why you might edit an authority record in bulk and why you might edit the administrative data in bulk. And Lynn probably, I'm just yammering, but so please, if I'm out of line, let somebody else, please speak up.
In this case, keeping the previous terminology, keeping that national record, but instead change it to my own library's authority file. How would I identify those records that need to be kept? Is it perhaps the combination of a prefix in the 010 and then a string match. So if I wanted to keep the name that LC originally had, I'm trying to think of how we would identify those records.
I would imagine in practice, you either are notified. I think the LOC has a notification service, right? So maybe you're notified that a change is coming, or even if it's not LOC, there are other authority files that people follow, right? So you'd maybe get a notification, or you notice it when you're doing the deletes file and you're looking at what's been deleted and you notice that maybe something has been deleted that, usually it's the reverse, right? I think that Lynn pointed out that you prefer a different term than is being used currently at the national level. But it doesn't mean, and this could happen, in a name authority file. Maybe somebody's changed their name and you need to keep record though that, like I don't like how you did the artist formerly known as Prince. I don't even know how we did authority record on that. So I'm just randomly thinking of ways, and I probably brought up something. Sorry. I have to think this through further. But I would imagine it'd be a string because usually it's, as you noted, it's the terms themselves. So you would probably
a string on that 100 field in an authority record that has the terminology that you choose to keep or delete. And then it would also be because you know that that record is they're being deleted, then it would show up in a delete file or you would get a notification, and then you would have probably the unique identifier, the 001 for that particular record. Yeah, thanks for bringing that up, Corey. Did I capture it correctly? Yes, and
Okay.
thank you for listening.
Of course. Magda, were you about to jump in saying my time is up?
Hey, we have 10 minutes left. Maybe we can use this time to continue conversation about authority records and move the item status changes to our next meeting. What the group thinks.
Yeah, I think that's good because we haven't reached the how yet, right?
Exactly. So let's continue with authority records today, and during our next meeting, we start with item statuses.
Okay, thank you so much, Magda. Thank you, everyone. One thing I have been thinking about is maybe I want to bulk edit to bulk update the linked bib headings. What am I trying to say? So if I have a handful of authority records that are linked to bib headings, I want to update all of those bib headings links with my changed authority records. Would we do that in bulk? Or is that mostly a one by one authority record work? Yes, Vivian.
Are we changing the heading that is in fact linked? Because I thought that's what, like changing the heading in the authority record, if that authority record is linked to a bib heading, my understanding is that changing the authority record itself would actually change the heading in the bib, right? Is that what we're talking about?
Exactly. And I'm wondering if there's a use case for doing that in bulk. My assumption is yes, but.
I'm just trying to envision this as to where you would have. I mean, okay, I think that, correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm just kind of piecing this out. If I change an authority main heading in bulk, it's automatically going to change the headings in the bibs, right?
Yes, correct.
Okay. So I'm having a little trouble trying to envision a situation where I have a variety of headings that I want to change in the bibs, and so I collect all the authority records together and update them in bulk, because the only other situation I can see is, well, we've got a bunch of authority records that all have the same heading, but that clearly is not that. Kind of defeats the purpose of authority.
But we certainly don't have, there is no reason to, sorry, if someone has permissions to edit authority records in bulk, there's no reason to restrict editing headings.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't have any use case for protecting that, but I wanted to make sure I wasn't missing something.
I mean, I think just like a, in the same way that when we're talking about deleting in bulk, there's just a little info blip that says, the deleting records in bulk will unlink any headings that are linked to these records. In the same way, you might have a little information blip that says, just a reminder that updating, main entries and authority records will update the course any corresponding link pips.
So it's equally as important with just with editing the headings as in addition to deleting.
Yeah, I
Yeah, that
mean, I
makes
think
sense.
just any little reminders that we can give people seem appropriate to me.
Yes, and in to your point, we do that in the Mark Authority app when headings are changed in a single authority record. Okay, yeah, and there's no reason to restrict that. Conversely, or in the opposite end, I think, Magda, you'll have to remind me, sorry for putting you on the spot. When we're editing bib fields that are controlled, we're not actually able to do that, but it doesn't tell us. Like, we are able to put that criteria in, but it doesn't actually happen, right?
Exactly. This is one of the things we need to discuss because bulk edit uses data import on the back end for editing Mark bib records. And bulk edit will guide through entire process and will even confirm that the records were updated. In fact, the records have not been changed. If the field is linked.
Okay, I just thank you for confirming. So that's something we would need to discuss data import wise as well, because bulk edit uses it. Yeah.
Correct. I think the behavior is correct. It is just reporting the warning or notification to the user stating that the record was not updated and why it was not updated.
Okay, yep. All right, thank you. Okay, yeah, thank you, Magda, for confirming. So I had the how section, and really what I meant by how is how we would identify that list of authority records, what criteria we use to delete versus edit. We talked about identifying the list of records to delete, maybe looking at the leader. Lynn was mentioning perhaps string matching when we're working with locally preferred terms. I am guessing that when we're trying to figure out or we're trying to make a list of records to edit, of authority records to edit, we might be doing the same thing. So, looking for specific values in the leader, doing string matching. But I wanted to make sure there was, I wanted to see if there were specific use cases, for identifying records.
I was just thinking, what if someone created like a local authority file? So I think, I'm not sure how those work exactly, but it would be a different kind of maybe HRID, like starts with maybe or something like that. Yeah, like, yeah, thanks.
Yeah, thank you. That's something I was thinking about as well. Maybe I have, yeah, that's what I was thinking as well. Especially that's another use case for what we talked about for being able to edit the 001 and not restrict it for authority records. Lynn, go ahead.
So I think from what I remember in our data import meeting when we talked about this, the person who brought it up said that when they created the authority files and settings, they didn't really know what they were doing because there wasn't much guidance provided, and so They used the number one as without a prefix as like the starting number for their authority sets in multiple authority sets. So they weren't able to differentiate them between different authority sets. So that's she was having a difficult time matching.
For sure. I think that was Megan again. She and I talked, and it's definitely come up with many libraries that the current iteration of the authority file setup is very confusing without a lot of guidance. The good news is for Umbrella Leaf, we're looking at revamping those settings as well as making them more configurable. And definitely, as part of those settings enhancements, we'll include a lot more guidance, a lot more. Information about what the field is, what the impact of the field is. So yes, thank you for bringing that up. Oh, Magda, we're out of time, aren't we? Is that what you're going to tell me?
Yes, we are on top of the hour.
Okay.
Yeah. We can stay longer if needed. We can stay longer if you think you need a few more minutes, then whoever can stay, please stay.
Oh, that's okay. I think I've gathered a lot. Everyone's been so helpful. I hope that you'll invite me back again.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Christine. This was awesome. Thank you. Thank you all who participated today, and see you in April. Talk to you later. Bye
Thank
bye.
you. Yeah, thank
Bye.
you so much, everyone.